you, Mr. Moderator. Mike Slezak, Precinct 6. Can we please move the question?
Is there a second? Second. This requires a two-thirds vote. Mr. Rickley, would you take my right and the Finance Committee? Mr. Crook, would you take the center? Ms. Russell, would you take the left and the Board of Selectmen? We have a point of order.
Mr. Moderator, you've made it clear that you had the right to reject any motions to shut down discussion if there were hands up, and I saw at least four. Those people might – Mr. Tucci got a chance to speak twice. Those who haven't spoken might like an opportunity to speak
well,
once.
Well, I would reject that only if I felt that there was not enough debate. I actually did make a mistake on that last previous speaker. I just did not recognize him, but I certainly do have the right to recognize a motion to end debate, and I will. Now, again, Ms. Russell, my left and the Board of Selectmen. Those in favor of ending debate, please rise. Fourteen. Thirty-two. And those opposed to ending debate.
Twenty-two.
19. The vote being 81 in the affirmative, 62 in the negative, the motion fails and debate continues. Is there further discussion? Mr. Dow.
Pete Dow, Precinct 7, and a member of the school committee. I don't even know where to start with this one. The charges you have heard are outrageous. I have friends of mine, people I know in the school system that teach in special ed that are awfully proud of the work that they've done. And for these charges to be leveled publicly is beyond comprehension. But let's go back for a minute to find out what's really going on here.
Mr. Brown?
I think you already said that we could not discuss this. We're discussing the
article. I'm moving to the transfer that was being requested today.
Okay.
It's a transfer out of regular day funds. No services have been refused to any of the students that are entitled to them under their individual education plan. Let's know that up front. This is not an issue. It's a red herring. Now, money's coming out of regular day because there's additional money. And we're using it where we have told town meeting we will use this money for the past 2 years. Every time we've come before town meeting, we know that those projects, when they went forward, had zero amount of money in FF&E and zero amount of money in technology. And we said we would try to manage these projects, that we would try to manage the budget in order to provide the money we need to fulfill these projects as best we can. And so here comes the circuit breaker money. We provide the services, and we budget enough money in here so that we can try to anticipate what money is coming in. More money comes in than we expect. There's a budgetary offset in the last 2 years, about $250,000 in the first year, about $500,000 in fiscal year 2005, and I believe it's $900,000 in fiscal year 2006 that we will take up in subsequent town meeting evening. So the money has been looked at, it's been expected, and the services have been provided. But we get more than we expected because the program's still new. So we're doing what we have told town meeting we would do at each step of the way. When we have these one-time sums, we are going to make sure that we deliver to this town the best possible projects possible. And we have said this repeatedly, and we have told town meeting on every possible time when we look at extra money that this is where we're going to put it. Because it's very important for us to make sure those schools that are being built are the best possible schools they can be. Is it surprising that a school that's budgeted back 7 years ago comes in higher when you go out to bid it? No, of course it's not. We all know it. If you went to buy a car 7 years ago, it doesn't cost the same thing. Think of buying your house today versus buying your house 7 years ago. The prices are very different. But we didn't increase that budget. It's easy to say, well, you know, you have inflation, the state will pay, but the state doesn't appropriate money at this level. The state just says, yes, we'll give you an additional amount for inflation, but we have to come back to the town and ask for that money. And we chose not to. We chose to try to manage our budgets appropriately and try to come up with the money to fix these projects and make them whole. And this is our attempt to do that. This is nothing surprising. It's nothing out of the ordinary. It's exactly what we told town meeting we would do. So just remember, all the services would be provided, and this is not a situation that is unheard of. This is what we told town meeting would happen. And now we're coming back and doing it because we want that money in the contingency. We want to be able to make sure that when we renovate the C building of this building, the math science wing, that when they go and take down those walls and deal from scratch, there's money in the contingency for things that you don't even know is there. When they go and level this parking lot out here to try to, you know, make it into, when they do the demolition, make it into a parking lot, when they just take down a building, we need to know that there's money for stuff under there that we don't know. You can take core samples, you can estimate how much ledge there is, but you don't really know until you put the machine out there and you take the building down and you start grinding up whatever's under there. You just don't know. Now, we could also let Barrows go without FF&E and technology. That's not what the people want. That's not what no one wants here. We want to make sure that these schools have adequate services, they have adequate technology, they have the right equipment in the right rooms, and they're all whole, contained within the walls of the building, not in portable classrooms. We want these buildings to be built properly. And so that's what this is all about. So the money did not come out of special ed. Special ed services were provided by what I think is one of the great teams that works in our schools every day providing the services as they're specified in the IEP. Yes, people do go to attorneys once in a while. Some people are unhappy. They think there should be more services. But the services that are provided are worked out between the special ed department, the teacher, and the parents. And that's services that we provide. And we provide a tremendous amount of money to provide those services. This is really about trying to make sure the buildings are whole. And some people don't want to do that. I think there are people that want failure in these buildings. Failure, to me, is not an option. These buildings need to be built. They need to be built correctly. This is the mechanism to do it. We need to support it so that on schedule, these buildings get completed. Thank you.
Further discussion? Yes.
Bill Downing, Precinct 3. Early in the presentation, Linda showed us a slide. It appeared the state was requesting that these funds be put in a special account and not included with the school budget. Can somebody respond to that, why we aren't treating these funds the way the state had asked us to treat these funds?
Mr. Foley?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. We're in full compliance with the Department of Revenue's directive. No funds are being diverted out of the circuit breaker funds and going anywhere else other than to the special needs budget.
Further discussion? Yes, on my in the back, in right behind you, behind you.
Doug Cowell, Precinct 7. I just want to kind of like clarify it. The way I understand it, you went out and we bought and spent money for special services, which was recommended by the state and which we complied to and did it to the best ability of town meeting and the school committee. And we paid for that out of our pocket, $800,000. And like getting a coupon at the store, after we paid for it, we got the money back, which is money that has been given back to the town of Reading for the expenditure we've already put out for that project. Now, we have that money, and very wisely we're saying we'll take it and spend it again on a project that we can get another reimbursement, like a second coupon for. So when that coupon comes due, we'll have more free money back in our apartment. This sounds to me like really intelligent work, and I applaud the people who came up with the idea. I think we should support this 100%.
Further discussion? Is there further discussion? Yes, Mr. Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. John Wood, Precinct 2. One question was answered. I have one comment and one question. The comment is on the culvert that was broken. You're warned about it. Shame on you for not taking that warning. Second, but my question is, Mr. Spadafora mentioned early on that the Barrow School was under budget. If it's under budget, why do they need money?
Mr. Spadafora?
I'm sorry, I wasn't clear. What the state reimburses us each year, that increases the cost per square foot. So you have X number of square feet. You multiply that from the then price. So it's been 7 years. So originally amounted $7 million. If you do the arithmetic, you'll get to a higher number, and that's what they will reimburse up to. So if you start at $7 million, and as we add these funds to the project, we're still below the ceiling before the state will not reimburse us for anything north of that.
So you are saying that it is under budget? You said, you stated earlier that this Barrows project was under
what
budget.
The state will reimburse us.
It's under what the state will reimburse you?
Yes.
If it's under what the state will reimburse, then why do we need money?
Is there a response to that? Okay, Mr. Dunlap.
Thank you, Scott Dunlap with AI3. I'd just like to clarify a couple of things regarding the Barrow School. It was submitted almost 7 years, actually 6 years ago, to the School Building Assistance Program for reimbursement. It was submitted at the funding level that the state would approve at that particular point in time. Since that point in time, the state has raised their funding level a number of times such that the state considers the Barrow School project to be worth significantly more than the money that was appropriated back at that point in time. And the state will, in fact, reimburse significantly more money than was appropriated at that point in time. The timeline that was presented earlier is actually accurate, but I believe what it represents is the school committee's continued attempt to figure out creative ways to try to do the Barrows project on that original 7-year-old budget without asking for a debt exclusion or additional appropriations. And so I think there were a number of attempts there to try to do it for that old budget without increasing it. And in fact, even today with the increase, the Barrows School project will be about $1.5 million under the amount that the state would recommend for expenditure there.
Further discussion? And if my far right? Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Timothy O'Neill, Precinct 6. And I had my hand up for a while, so I apologize. You have to bear with me as I beat a dead horse. But the whole thing about, see, it seems as if, from what I've heard, the money right now is not in this special education fund. So denying this motion would not keep the money in a special education fund. So to say that we're doing this for special education is not really realistic. Because even if you deny this appropriation, you're really not going to help the special education program because it's not as if the school committee is going to still spend all this money on the special education program. So I think that's not realistic to think that it will, and I don't think it's relevant. And I think this appropriation would be for the greater good of the whole school program in Reading, and I don't think it would be to the detriment of the special ed program, seeing as the money was already spent on the special ed program.
Further discussion? Do we have further discussion? Ms. Wood.
Gail Wood, Precinct 2. I'm not going to go into any of the allegations. I'm not going to go into the special education or any of that. What I want to know is, will there be more circuit breaker money coming in the future years? I mean, you know, like, not a long answer, just like a three-letter answer or a two-letter answer. That's all I'm looking for.
Mr. Scatini.
I'm a lawyer. I can't give that.
Oh. So what are we going to do? Have a filibuster, Pat?
No, I don't give those either. You know that. But I will tell you, I hope there is special education circuit breaker money, because in the budget that I'm going to present to you on Monday night, there's a $900,000 offset that we're counting on in order to balance our budget. Now, the issue of circuit breaker over the last few years, Reading has been the most aggressive town on securing circuit breaker money than any other town in this state. We have gotten more money. In fact, this last year, when we began to get the circuit breaker money, I took a look and I did a spreadsheet of all surrounding towns. I can see the amount we got is far greater than many of the surrounding towns. And I wanted to make sure that we were doing things absolutely legitimately. Our special ed director was in touch with the DOE and the special education department and the person who actually runs special education of the circuit breaker program. And we are, he's even said, we are the most aggressive town. We go after every single dollar due us. It's exactly what I said last week, earlier this week at town meeting. We will go after every single solitary dime that is due the town of Reading in whatever program or grant we can get hold of. That, you have my word. That's what we've done, and that's why we have this money in order for the school committee to make a decision. So we hope that there's going to be money because we have a very large offset, and I do not foresee in upcoming budgets that we'll ever be able to do this again.
Your answer was hopefully, but your last sentence I missed. I do not foresee.
I don't do not foresee that we're ever going to, because of the offset, $900,000.
Mm-hmm.
We've always have an offset, and then we get very aggressive, and we respond as best we can, because we learn about what the rules are and play by those rules. We've gotten more money than what we anticipated might be coming through, because either the percentage has increased, but that the percent that the state will give to us has increased,
mm-hmm.
which is great, even though we didn't know that. They went up from 37.5% to 73% without telling us. Great. We love that. But we didn't know that was going to happen.
Right.
So we needed to make sure that we continue to stay aggressive, and we're counting, and best we can get information from the DOE, we will be able to fulfill the $900,000 offset for next year. But I don't see any additional money than that coming. So I don't foresee that we'll be able to request this transfer in the future.
Okay, that's where I want to get to. Here's the point. I don't want to have to go through this every year on a capital improvement plan. So what I was going to suggest is you open that fund, you put whatever is in it. Then when you go to make your budget, you use that money as an offset. If there's more, you could do that. It's not going to make a hill of beans difference to the school budget. And if you have that money extra that you haven't used in your budget, that you apply that in line items with your capital plan that you're starting to develop, so that you keep everything neat. Because what will happen is, if in fact you get $900,000 back from SPED, from the circuit breaker, and you're budgeting $900,000 that you would normally have from the tax rate, you would have money to be applied someplace. So put that in your capital. It's only a neatness thing. It doesn't make a hill of beans difference, because if you take your allowable money and you take two-thirds and the town takes one-third, the number is going to be about the same. It's just that when you're asking to do something like this, these are really capital projects. And if you apply it and you couldn't have done this before because you didn't have a capital plan. I mean, that's something new. So, I mean, it's a step at a time. And since these are capital projects, if you then put it in the capital, in the newly developed school committee capital plan, and the general town capital plan, you could apply it, and I think you would probably eliminate a lot of the maybe to some people extraneous discussion that's happened tonight. If you don't get what I'm talking about, I'll tell you later.
Further discussion. On the, my left.
Joe Westerman from Precinct 3. You in the article motion, it said that there was a better-than-anticipated reimbursement from SPED. I was wondering what the difference was. And the reason I was wondering is that I assume that the refunded amount is carried as a forward item in the budget to be spent elsewhere, which means that you budgeted, say, $900,000 in next year's budget, you were saying, based on a SPED reimbursement to be spent somewhere else, which means that in this year's budget, there was an anticipated SPED reimbursement of which it's been exceeded. So I was wondering what the, how much was the extra for one?
Mrs. Cattini.
In this year's budget, FY05, there's an offset for special education circuit breaker of $500,000. We have gotten over $1 million through the program. So there's the difference in the funding right there.
All right. So that would mean that there's a surplus in your budget prior to these unplanned contingency, or I'll call them contingency items, of about $500,000.
A little bit more than that, yes. $850,000, which is the request the school committee has made.
Okay, so, all right. That's good. It explains to me. So you had plans for spending $500,000 that you thought was going to be there, and there's another $500,000 you didn't know about.
Correct.
All right.
Well, $500,000 that came due to an increase in the percent that the circuit breaker is reimbursing us.
All right. Okay. Another thing I'd like to know is on the Barrows the Barrows total cost. Listening to over budget versus under budget in reimbursement rates, what I'd like to know is what's the total cost of the project anticipated to be, and then what's the total reimbursement versus what it was originally stated as.
The reimbursement level hasn't, the reimbursement percentage hasn't changed at the Barrows. That was locked in some time ago at the 66%. The exact amount that is provided to the town would be determined at audit time. But essentially at this point in time, if you transfer this money, the Barrows project would be at approximately $8.5 million.
All right. And if we... That's if we transfer the money. And if we transfer, say, part of it to cover the $380,000 or whatnot, call it, to the high school contingency plan, then what does that mean?
I'm not sure.
What's the drawback of saying, okay, you have a $500,000 surplus from greater than anticipated reimbursements, so you really need an additional $350,000 because you've already got $500,000 you hadn't counted on?
Specifically with regard to the high school project.
Maybe the superintendent can answer that.
If I can just ask, is the question, if we did not get $350,000 for the Barrow project, what would happen?
Yes.
Then we have zero money in there for furniture, fixture, equipment. So we have bought our house and we have no furniture in it.
Right.
I mean, it's really, we have an additional building that we must put furniture in.
Right.
Now, granted, there is some furniture from other buildings that can come there. But remember, we will have an art room, music room in the various schools. We have to put furniture in, or leave furniture in those rooms in order to teach in those rooms. So there's not as much furniture that can go around to come back. Also, the kind of furniture that's in offices, desks, chairs, library carrels, library tables, all this kind of furniture needs to be purchased. And we have no money in the budget at this point to purchase it.
Okay, and so back to the $500,000 extra surplus, Would that offset the $500,000 contingency then, because it was money you never planned to have? Almost like found money?
This is not found money. I see this as earned money. Money that was earned due to our very aggressive nature in securing funds through the circuit breaker program. So this is money that we worked hard to get, and the school committee has decided to put it so that at least in the high school project, is that what the $500,000 that you're talking about?
Well, what I'm looking at is the $1 million reimbursement versus a $500,000. Means there's $500,000 extra that you didn't count on.
Right.
In the budget anywhere. It didn't show up as a line item.
We have $500,000 as an offset in this year, is what we projected that we would get for Circuit Breaker, because that's what we got. We put $560,000 last year, so we put $500,000 in this year's budget. The difference is about 1.1 that we'll be getting total. So there's about $600,000 additional earned money through the Circuit Breaker program that is part of the money due to the clerical nature of already having paid for the services, or already having acquired the services. This is the $600,000 that's part of it. The other piece is simply good budget management and savings that we've done throughout the school year. So that's the money, the $850,000 that the school committee is requesting be transferred.
All right, thank you.
Is there further discussion? Ms. Phillips.
I'm not going to repeat what I said before, but I have heard things that I'd like to bring up to clarify what people are saying, because we're bantering back and forth, and I'm not sure people really understand. First of all, I knew last June, when the governor's budget was voted on, how much money Reading was going to get, because our representatives are very kind in letting us know how well they work for Reading. So we were known last June. That means by July 1st, I'm sure our school department knew about it. And so we did receive $1.3 million for the circuit breaker reimbursement this year. The school department planned on receiving $500,000 because they received $685,000. They're not telling you that they received $185,000 little bonus after July 1st, when they divvied out all the money and they saw that they had other communities had not applied and there was a little money left over. So we got $685,000, and it really pains me to correct information that our public officials give, but I think town meeting and the voters should get all the information so we can make our decisions based on accurate, correct information that is irrefutable and not of anyone's opinion. So now we know the school department knew this money was here. This is the first time we're correcting it because it's the end of the year. I won't go with special ed, but I have personal experience with my own children, and I know that some of those things parents have said are absolutely correct. And I've been in this town for 5 years running for political office, and I hear stories that would make your hair curl. Where the money should go is being asked. According to the Department of Revenue...
Mr. Dowell, do you have a point of order?
Mr. Moderator, I've heard enough innuendo and accusations. Let's stick to the topic, please.
I am. I'm talking from personal experience. The question was asked where the money should go, this $850,000. The Department of Revenue says the money should stay in a special education fund. That means that the school department doesn't need that $850,000 next year, that it's already included in their budget. That means that they can ask for $850,000 less next year because they have money left over in the special ed account, and that money is supposed to be carried over year to year. That was what was supposed to happen last November as well. And that actually that helps the taxpayers so that we don't have to pay twice for money appropriated by the state to help extraordinary special education costs, but Reading is using it for building projects. I think the voters should have a say on whether they want to add nearly $2 million more to the school building projects. We received over amounts last year because we under-declared that revenue as well. We underestimated what that revenue would be. And next year, according to Senator Tesei, we are going to receive the same amount as we got this year, which is $1.3 million. So the school department has budgeted $900,000, and there's going to be another $400,000 left over. And that will be signed in this budget, and we will know for sure whether we are going to get that. But just as we were told last year, it was a one-time thing because this wonderful thing from the legislature happened to Reading. It's not a one-time thing. They're going to try to fund it every year from now on. Most recent, we're not talking seven-year numbers on the school building costs. In 2003, in January, as I showed you, when the school department...
You have 1 minute left.
When the school department came for town meeting looking for the $2.5 million, they specifically said, because I questioned if the 2.5 was enough, did they need any money for barrels? Mr. Bowen, Mr. Dahl, all the school administrators told us, and it's in the article wording, Barrows has been modified so as not to require additional funding. What are we to believe? The story changes all the time.
Further discussion. Mr. Dahl.
Pete Dahl, Precinct 7, member of the school committee. There was an interesting word used, try to fund. That's what the government tries to do. We try to anticipate what they're going to fund, and we try to budget for that. Last year, we put in a significant increase in what we thought was the offset, and we budgeted that, and we presented that to town meeting, and that was presented sometime in late April, early May, and it was voted on. And when the state comes and tells us what they're going to give us at some time in June, then that's true. There is additional money there. But you still don't know through the school year exactly what you're going to have to face. You don't know what problems are going to come up. You sit there. You have an administration that the school committee has hired to manage the budget, to spend the money appropriately, and to take on a day-to-day basis what comes in the door. Sometimes, you know, situations arise that cost more money. That's why the school committee has bottom-line authority with their budget, in order to manage the ebb and flow of the school year. Things happen. You know, we put a $500,000 offset in there. We thought that was a fair estimation at the time. And we manage the rest of the budget in order to bring it in on target. And here at the end of the year, we have additional funds. And that's what this is all about. We have additional funds. They could roll in the free cash. There's no doubt about that. They could be done. There could be a dozen things done with them. But this is what the school department has said repeatedly we were going to do with additional money. We're not trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. We're trying to give, you know, goes straight down the line of what we anticipated would happen, and now we're doing it. There's no surprise. And we all know, we all knew when those projects were approved, yes, the scope of Barrows had changed to bring it within the budget for construction. But there's a lot more to the budget than just construction. There's this thing called FF&E. There's this thing called technology. There's a contingency because there's so many things unknown. And we all knew, we all saw the budget, and we all knew that we had underfunded technology and FF&E, and we told town meeting we would try to manage this because it was important to get these projects going, because the longer they go undone, the more they'll cost and the more difficult it will be. And it has been difficult. But here we are with additional funds from the state. Thank you very much. Next year we're budgeting $900,000, and we've heard that the state will try to give us more than that. There have been years when the state didn't give us what they said they were going to give us, and we knew what happened then. We had to cut at the year end. So, yeah, is there a little underestimation? Probably. We know it because we can't absolutely be sure what's going to be in the final budget passed. The economy is in difficult straits. We don't know how tax collections are going to be. We have to be reasonable people, and reasonable people take extra money they have, and they do things with it that are one-time issues. And the one-time issue here is get the buildings completed, because we may not have another chance at this. And again, we have told everybody time and time again, I've been down at this podium to tell you, we will try to manage our budgets to get what money we can get and put back into the buildings. These buildings will stand for another 30, 40, 50 years, and we We want to do it right this time. We don't want to have to come back to town meeting in 10 years because something didn't get done, or in 5 years because something didn't get done, or there's no the desk sets, hey, they were okay. They were 15, 20 years old, but they should have been replaced, and we didn't replace them, and now we're coming back to town meeting with these small capital expenditures when we don't have the money. We have the money now. We're going to use it appropriately if town meeting would approve it. And I think it's we've spent God knows how much time down here discussing this. I'd like to see us get to a vote, and I'd like you all to support this because it's in the best interest of the town. Thank you.
Further discussion. Mr. Hines.
Mr. Moderator, George Hines, Precinct 7. There's a reason that this bill is called a circuit breaker. For years, the municipalities, school departments, and school districts were crying to the legislature, the governor, whoever would listen, that the cost of special education was eroding our ability to provide basic education services and basic municipal services. Finally, the legislature listened, and they created this circuit breaker legislation to fund special education. Now, a fellow town meeting member asked earlier what would happen with this money if we didn't have building projects going on. And what would happen with this money is that it would either go to fund school department costs or would go back into free cash and help us pay for the almost $1 million of snow and ice removal that we've had this year that we're going to have to fund next year. It would go to fund other basic municipal services that we have not been able to fund adequately, to do drainage and culvert work and keep those things in good repair over the years. So this money is not found money. We may be able to do it and use it in a way to solve other problems this year. But my fear is the legislature sees this, and maybe Reading's in the forefront of doing it, but other communities are going to catch up and figure out the same things that we figured out and be aggressive about getting the circuit breaker money. My fear is that they won't fund it because they see the end around we're pulling. As we've been advised, we may be within the letter of the law by doing this, but we are really not in the spirit of the law.
Further discussion? Yes, on the aisle, yes.
David O'Sullivan, Precinct 2. My understanding of this, really, the root of this article is, do we want to take some money that is in our budget as surplus, no matter where it came from, could have come from anything, and basically allocate that money to additional school capital projects? And my understanding is that's what we should be voting on, that's what we should be discussing. The where we got the money, it's great that we got it, no matter how we earned it, no matter how we got it. The issue is we're amending a capital plan, taking free money in the budget and putting it, do we want to put it to school, or do we want to put it to school or to free cash? So I think the question we got to all say is this the right place to put it? Don't worry about why we got it or where it came from. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? On my left.
Took the long way around. David Lautman, Precinct 4. I think there's another question is that, and I just want to make sure this is clear or understand this clear. If we spend the money, this money, on the school project, it's subject to reimbursement by the state. Is that true? Okay, so that's a big thing. So if we spend the money elsewhere, we don't get that 66%. The other comment that I'd like to make is that You know, what I see on this whole project is I see FinCom and I see the superintendent, I see the town committees and the school committee working extremely hard in a creative way to get the best bang for the buck on this project. We have all these projects going, and quite frankly, I don't know how you take a seven-year-old budget, and we've talked for years about how it was delayed, but a seven-year-old budget, I don't know how they've gotten this thing through without having to go back for another override, for another capital override, or to build this thing. So I commend these people up here for what they've done, and I think the creativity is not something that we should fault. It's something we should applaud. We've managed this town. I've seen this town managed by people a whole lot smarter than I am in incredible ways, from the way we finance the school to getting home rule petitions so that we could get better borrowing rates. Try to spit that out. Again, I think we should just... There's a level of trust that we've had in this room over the years that sometimes is high and low. But when we look at this thing, it makes sense logically. And sooner or later, you know, you just have to sit back and say, you know, these people have worked hard. They're people of good faith who've worked tirelessly for this town. And quite frankly, if it comes down... Well, I won't get to that. I would just hope that we would pass this. Thank you.
Further discussion? In the back, right there, yes. Yes. I'm the woman in white, I actually have called on.
I'll try to be brief. Christine Durst, Precinct 8. You said before that we earned this money, and you emphasized that. Did we earn it for special education?
We earned it because we were aggressive in securing all the funds for services rendered to special education students.
So technically, my understanding would be then that we earned it for special education. Just one thought before we vote on this. As a professional special educator, I would say that that's one area of a school budget that is very difficult to anticipate, and all it takes is a couple of kids with some unanticipated needs.
Correct.
And one of my favorite sayings is that people with disabilities is the only group with open enrollment, the only minority group with open enrollment.
True.
And those needs can change at any time, and I just think that we need to be cautious about moving money from that.
Ms. Graham, will you? Yes.
Nancy Graham, Precinct 4.
Move the question.
Is there a second? Second. All right. Again, I would ask the same counters. Do we have them? We may have lost our middle counter. Ms. Russell, who have we got? Mr. Grace, would you take the... here he comes. Mr. Crook. All right. All those in favor of ending debate, please rise. Forty-nine. Forty-eight. Those opposed? Two.
15.
10. Vote being 121 in the affirmative, 27 in the negative. The motion carries, and Debate is stopped. This requires a majority vote. So all those in favor of the motion under Article 4, please raise your right hand. Those opposed? And the motion carries. Is there any business under Article 5? Mr. Schubert.